Hello, everybody. We're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast. That's right, we're a podcast, like other podcasts, but we talk about The Simpsons. Not seasons 1 through 10, though. We figure there's plenty of those enough already. We want to reunite our love of the classic animated show by reviewing the forgotten episodes, the ones that are much maligned, and maybe unjustly. We talk about seasons 11 and beyond. Why, I am half an annoyed grunt boy, Steve, and I can't do this alone, so with me, as always... is some crickets, and...
I'd like to come!
A child who wants to ejaculate, and...
This country makes me sick!
An angry Milhouse's dad, and... A mediocre drummer, and...
You're a real jerk, you know that?
Penn Teller, and...
That's what she said!
Jim Halpert, and...
Your nuts in my face!
My testicles near your nose, and...
Clash of Castles!
Classic assholes. Speaking of classic assholes, let me introduce my co-host, Craig.
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Hey, Craig. I noticed that I said Penn Teller. Like, that's the person. I'm Penn Teller.
One more, Steve.
Okay.
We're not a political podcast, but...
No Trump.
Thank you, Mr. Burns, for that surprising point of view.
That's the soundboard I've created, everyone. So I have a couple more, but they don't make any sense.
Like those clear, defined sound effects do.
Steve, how have you been this week?
I've been all right. So I learned recently from Laura that there is a community on the social media site Instagram.
Whoa. This might be someone's first podcast. Oh. Who the fuck is this Laura?
Oh, sorry. She is, as one Borat might say, my wife. I am married to her. She is a person. She's
Does
real.
Does she know this?
As far as I know, yes. Okay, she keeps on coming home, so.
I'd like to come.
Yeah, she says that sometimes.
When Laura comes home, does she say,
you're nuts in my face?
Or does she really say,
you're a real jerk, you know that?
Funny, she says both.
All right. I'll lay off the soundboard.
Evidently, she's found this thing called Bookstagram, which is a community that is nicer than a lot of the internet, where people just read books and then post about it. And they show themselves like all the books that they read in the month or year or whatever. And so it inspired Laura to reorganize her book collection, which I am all for because I like books. I like collecting books, and I think it's great when you organize them. Now, I have my own bookcase of my own books, and she was nice enough to organize my books as well, which I appreciate greatly.
And you asked for that.
I didn't.
Oh.
But I still appreciate it. I do have to say, though, the way in which she organized my books is not necessarily the way I would have done it.
Oh, let me guess.
Yeah.
She took the spine and put that against the wall, so all you see is, like, empty pages.
No. I know that's a thing.
Is it really? I'm just making a dumb joke.
No, it's actually a real thing that design people do for a better aesthetic, but it also makes their books impossible to find.
Annoying.
Really annoying. So not that bad, but rather than category or author, she went by color, and I appreciate her, and it does look very nice, but like if I want to pick up a John Swartzwelder book, he has like every book looks exactly the same with a very simple cover. The only difference is the color in which it is. So it's red or yellow or blue or, you know, colors.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, starring Ice-T, movie from 1989. Yeah, so I've got a white shelf, a blue shelf, a red shelf, and a yellow shelf. And
this sounds like segregation, Steven. We're not all about that on this podcast.
No, we are not.
All colors should just be together.
Yeah. And I mean, they should be sorted by category and be alphabetical, but certainly not by color. Talking about books still.
Yeah, I think the way I organize my books is by like genre usually. So
yeah.
Well, Steve, I only own like 8 books and they're all the Bible.
Good for you, Craig. See, I organize my books by the youngest child from Malcolm in the Middle because he has a decimal system and it's perfect. Man, I wish that I could go back in time away from that joke.
Well, Steve, I think you should go back in time from that joke, like all the way to the year, I don't know, let's say 2001.
Whoa, I'm going to jump back 19 years, back when Malcolm in the Middle was still on.
Yeah, great show.
Yeah.
We should watch it.
Yeah, it probably aired on May 6th, 2001, I'd imagine.
Ooh, right after maybe The Simpsons?
Yeah, I wonder what episode aired then, but also I wonder, what was the number one movie at the box office at the time?
Steve, I'll have you know, it was Brendan Fraser's return to the Mummy franchise with The Mummy Returns.
That warranted a really good roller coaster on Universal Studios, which inexplicably is still there.
Speaking of mummies, that means, what was the number one song at the old Hot 100 Billboard?
Well, it was Michael Jackson's Mummy's Daughter, Janet Jackson, with All For You.
Edit.
4, 3, 2, 1. Approach me, throw me a line. But there's something inside you that just says, who am I? I know exactly because it happens with all I can.
What's this episode we're watching again?
We're going to Praise Land. Well, I'm going to Praise Land anyway.
Am I allowed to go or?
All right, fine. But we can't go together. So you can say that you're going to Praise Land, and I'll say that I'm going to Praise Land, but we can't say that we're going to Praise Land.
Okay. Cool.
Ned opens a Christian amusement park, but is disappointed when the tame religious attractions prove unpopular. But then visitors start to have visions.
Sounds spooky.
Yeah.
All right, let's go watch that episode and come back and discuss that episode.
Sounds like a plan for the episode. We'll be right back. And we're back. Today we're talking about I'm Going to Praise Land, the 19th episode of the 12th season. It originally aired on May 6, 2001. It is episode 267 in the show's run. Your nerd code is CABF15. It was written by Julie Thacker, directed by Chuck Sheets, and your showrunner is Mike Scully.
We haven't reviewed an episode with Julie Thacker yet, and it looks like this will be the only episode
that we will review.
Yeah, well, the reason is she did write, I'll take that back. We will eventually, she wrote Last Tap Dance in Springfield at season 11, so we will review that eventually. And so she's only has 3 writing credits on The Simpsons. Huh. And so it's this one, the one I just mentioned, and of course, The Old Man and the Sea Student, which is from season 10, episode 20. So that one, we're not allowed to review that one, Steve.
That's right. And she also wrote several episodes of the Fox animated sitcom Duncanville from this year.
Yeah, she's an executive producer. So I think that's one of her, it's one of her shows. Yeah. Also wrote on Fuller House.
Oh.
But Steve, she goes by Julie Thacker Scully. Do you think that she knows Mike Scully?
Maybe, but I don't know.
Well, spoiler, Steve. They're married.
They be fucking?
I mean, I don't know.
I guess that's not my place to say.
I mean, at least 5 times because they got 5 kids.
Okay.
So, there you go. Good on you, Scully.
The Scully years.
That's right. There's a picture of them. Oh yeah, they look like a nice couple.
Aw. Oh yeah, they're nice. He looks like he could be played by Hellboy. like they would make him more attractive, you know. So it'd be what's his name? Ron Perlman. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Twitter great Ron Perlman.
That's right.
He's a huge fan of Trump. If you follow his Twitter, he's not.
Nor should anybody.
What do you think?
So some trivia just up top. The title of the episode, Praise Land, is a spoof of the Paul Simon song, Graceland, in which the lyrics, I'm going to Graceland, are present. Also, Praise Land is also a parody of Graceland, where Elvis lived until his death.
His body is still there.
Supposedly.
Yeah, supposedly.
Until this weekend when I got some stuff to do.
What? Oh.
I'm just going to take it. Drive up. I don't know what I'm going to do.
I think his anniversary of his death was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Because people always go down there, but they had to only limit this year because of COVID, and you had to wear masks, and no one was allowed inside the complex. The only reason I knew this is because I was going to Graceland.
Just like Praiseland, the name of the show.
And the song by Art Garfunkel's ex-lover, Paul Simon.
we've got a chalkboard gag. It reads, genetics is not an excuse.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all. Oh, and we also have a couch gag. A cement truck pours out concrete statues of the Simpsons family. The head of Homer's statue breaks off and falls to the ground.
All right, yeah. These are okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Hey, when Lisa was playing the saxophone in the school band, that sounded so familiar.
Yeah, it's almost like it's from another episode.
What?
Like they later used it in a scene in Blazed and Confused.
I wouldn't know that because we haven't seen that episode yet, Steve.
Not yet, but maybe someday.
All right, well, so this is where we've done this before, where there's a few episodes out there where there's sequels or we have prequels or we haven't watched the ones before, because this is episode is actually a sequel to the 14th episode of the 11th season, Alone Again, Natural Deadly, which of course is the episode that Maude is killed by a t-shirt cannon, and Ned meets this 27-year-old Rachel Jordan, who's the lead singer of the Christian rock band Covenant, whom he's kind of interested in, but, you know, not ready to date or, you know, fuck.
Yeah.
So this is the proper sequel.
Very interesting. And our episode proper of that proper episode begins at the First Church of Springfield, where an ice cream social is taking place. Finally, a Sunday service you can swallow, unless you're Catholic.
There you go. You deserve it.
Thank you. So Bart is intrigued, yet suspicious, and he and Lisa walk up to Reverend Lovejoy's stand of crucifixions, where the man of God offers a variety of flavors, including...
We got blessed virgin berry.
Commandment.
Bible gum.
Oh, if you prefer, he also has Unitarian ice cream, which is just an empty bowl. Take that, Unitarians.
I didn't really need a rim shot.
Nah. But...
Here on the podcast, we like to make the food here. So I have some Blessed Virgin Berry, Commandment, and Bible gum here. So you try them?
Sure. The Virgin Mary tastes like it's been around the block, but I like it.
And here's the Commandment.
Too preachy.
And the Bible gum.
I don't know how that's a flavor.
Eat it.
Okay. Yeah. Chewy.
He's with Han Solo right now.
Okay.
All right. So here's the recipes I made. So the Blessed Virgin Berry, I had the vanilla ice cream, and then I went in my backyard and there's these weird like red little like currants or something on some like ivy looking tree. And I just put them in the vanilla ice cream. So there's that one. You okay there? Here's Commandment. Again, vanilla based. And then I just emptied just my entire tube of Colgate in there and mixed it around.
Yeah.
How are your teeth looking good though?
Oh, yeah, they're good. They're clean, but man, I don't feel so hot.
And Bible gum, this one was the hardest. So I took a vanilla ice cream, of course, as the base, went to the local Bible store, bought a couple Bibles, shredded those up, mixed it with the vanilla. Then I went to the gum store, chewed a bunch of gum, spit it into the ice cream, mixed that up there, and that's Bible gum. So it's Bible gum and vanilla ice cream. How was that?
That one was probably my favorite, actually.
All right. Here's the Unitarian ice cream. Try that.
Ooh, healthy.
I just farted in it.
It tasted like one of yours.
All right. Well, so anyways, that was our dumb bit. Meanwhile, Homer is visiting Helen Lovejoy's stand, where he requests a Tower of Babel cone built to heaven. After some initial reluctance, the preacher's wife gives Homer an ice cream cone with, let's count them, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey.
No, it's fine. We're not going to count all the way to 22. Steve counted them. So, Steve, congratulations for counting.
Thank you.
Anyways,
deposit and everything.
The massive dessert grazes a power line, electrocuting Homer to his death.
Oh, no. And that's our show.
Oh, he's still alive.
Alrighty. The ice cream social continues with Professor Frink unveiling his latest invention, ice cream directly from the cow.
Hi. I've created the first intra-bovine ice cream maker. It makes use of all four stomachs, the first being filled with rock salt, then sugar, cream, and of course, Freon, so cold it burns me. I have the dockety kind. One chocolate, Moo Tilda.
Hey. Can I have a swirl of chocolate and vanilla?
Oh, nonsense. You can do it. Ivan Reitman.
I love the cow there.
yeah.
Using human voice noises, but still, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, I think that Matt Groening would hate that, but I liked it.
Hey, Steve, I got some useless facts for you.
Oh, boy.
After Professor Frinks gets kicked by the cow, he collapses to the floor, you see.
Yes.
Rather than uttering some usual gibberish, you know, like his Jerry Lewis isms, he groans out, Ivan Reitman? Why, Steve, that's a notable film director such as Ivan Reitman. That's not even Raymond, famous director of like Meatballs, Stripes, and a little film called Ghostbusters.
Meatballs, you say? I love Meatballs. It's my favorite Bill Murray film.
Meatballs 2 is terrible, though.
Yeah, I've never seen either one of them. I think I tried Meatballs and it just...
I've seen it before. I'm like, I'm supposed to like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess it's of the time. I do love Stripes.
Yeah.
And, of course, Ghostbusters. Don't forget, he was producer of this very podcast.
That's right. Thanks, Ivan.
You're welcome.
That sounds like him.
Yep.
Craig.
What's that?
I got a blender for you.
Uh-oh.
So when Professor Frink is showcasing his cow, we see Brandine's buckler, but her belly is drawn the same color of green as the top of her garment, so her traditional exposed belly not shown.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Yeah, and it was probably Julie Thacker.
That's right.
But then Mike Scully felt really bad about firing her. And so he went to like apologize and like he brought flowers and he said, I'm going to make it up to you. I'll take you out to dinner. And they go to dinner and they just had a horrible time at dinner.
Oh.
Everything bad that could happen happened. But after a few days, they started missing each other. They started thinking about each other and, it was like a weird, wacky, romantic sitcom or, you know, movie that happened.
Yeah.
And they finally met at the Space Needle at midnight on New Year's Eve. And
AOL.com. The rest is history.
I don't think I've seen those movies with Meg Ryan and Jonathan Hanks.
I think that Jonathan Hanks is kind of a manipulative jerk in them.
You know, I mean, I know the references because one of my all-time favorite movies is They Came Together.
Which, such a good
if
movie.
You've never seen that, oh my God, it's... I could do a podcast about that movie and have more episodes than what we're doing. It's such the perfect movie for me.
Yeah, me too. It's the type of movie that I'd even, you know, I'd venture to say I'd take my eyes off Springfield to watch it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
I just that David Wayne and Michael Showalter, who wrote it. I mean, they did Wet Hot American. I love the movie and, of course, the Netflix shows.
Yeah.
Role Models. Have you seen Role Models? That movie's great, too.
That's also a great movie, yeah. And the cast of They Came Together, really good. You got Paul Rudd. You got your Amy Poehler, your Bill Hader, your Ellie Kemper, your Colby Smulder. You even got Jason Mantzoukas and Michael Ian Black.
Yeah, it's pretty much a lot of the same people from, like, Wet Hot.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, that's such a good movie. Okay. Anyways, I don't know how we got to that, but let's get back to The Simpsons.
Alrighty, we then head to the ice cream headache station where Dr. Hibbert and several nurses are injecting suffering children with hot fudge, giving them the chocolate sensation they so desperately need.
All right, Steve, I'm going to inject you with some hot fudge real quick.
Mmm, warming.
Anyways, to close out the church gathering, there's some live music. And to introduce the show, here's Timothy Lovejoy.
All right, let's welcome this evening's entertainment. They call her the Christian Madonna, Rachel Jordan.
Jesus loves me, this I'm sure. I'm a groupie on his tour.
Rachel Jordan? Isn't that the woman you had a crush on, Ned?
I didn't have a crush on her.
Are you blushing, Mr. Flanders?
No, I'm not.
Ned alone.
Thank you, Homer.
He can't admit he likes her till he's sure she likes him back. And there's only one way to find out. Does Rachel like Ned?
It says I have cooties.
Flanders has cooties. Flanders has cooties.
Ah, the paper thing.
I was going to write that about that, but I didn't know what to call it. Like a paper fortune teller? It's the thing that you fold, and I don't even know how to do the hand motions.
No, not to be a gender bias on this podcast, but only girls know how to do that, Steve. Boys didn't know how to make those.
That makes me feel better because I could not, if you had a gun to my head, I could not fold one anywhere close to that. And then to do the weird hand motion thing.
Yeah.
It looks so random. I'm impressed with girls.
I remember there was a episode of South Park where the boys, it's a pretty good episode where the boys, they start like, the girls can see the future. It's crazy. They have a device that can tell the future. And it's one of the paper things. So they dress Butters up as a girl to infiltrate to find the secrets of the paper. It's actually a really cute episode. I like that one.
Yeah, it's fun.
Sorry, I'm talking about a different cartoon, Steve.
It's okay. We're grown men. We can watch all the cartoons we want.
Yay.
Yay. A little bit of trivia for you. Cool. That Rachel Jordan is played once again by singer-songwriter Sean Colvin. And when asked about why she wanted to do this, she said that she grew up in a small hick town where, like, church music was the only music around. And so she related to the character because she wanted to get out of town and be, like, a rock star like Rachel Jordan.
Wow.
Thanks, Ray.
Hey, what am I doing here? It's been like 3 weeks. You guys haven't invited me back on yet.
Oh, sorry. I keep on thinking that you're imaginary and, you know.
Ray Magini, that's me.
See you, Ray.
Came down with a case of shingles. Okay.
good job, Sean.
Yeah.
So Rachel Jordan steps off stage and towards Ned, and the Simpsons mock the Holy Roller for blushing at his attraction towards this religious rock star, and Homer pushes Ned into Rachel, causing them to have a little brief meet-cute about vanilla ice cream. But Rachel explains that it's not her favorite flavor and that all the toppings were gone.
We then cut to Barton Milhouse, covered in chocolate and sprinkles, with their belts undone for some reason, groaning, or is it graining, from binging on the treats.
And so meanwhile, Ned and Rachel are catching up.
So, where's your band?
They switched from Christian music to regular pop. All you do is change Jesus to baby.
Oh, how horrible.
They'll all go to hell. Say, how's your life going?
Ooh, she wants to know how your life is going.
Well, my wife's passing was rough, but I think I'm finally ready to move on.
That's great. Maybe we can have coffee sometime.
Oh, she wants to have coffee sometime.
I can hear her, Homer.
He can hear you, Rachel.
I'd love to get together, but tomorrow I've got lifeguard duty at the baptismal pool.
Okay, well, maybe another time. You know, I better go check into my hotel.
Hotel? Why don't you just stay at Ned's place?
My place? What would the neighbors think?
We're the neighbors, and we don't think.
Ned, I understand if you feel uncomfortable. You're still getting over your wife.
Now, wait just a mod-gone minute here. I'm through living in the past. And you can see for yourself.
I like how the quote of, you just change the pop music and Christian music is the same thing. You just change baby to God or to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Remember there was an episode of South Park where Cartman starts a Christian rock band. I think that's the same thing. It's like they take the word baby and just turn it to Jesus.
It's
is
funny.
This the South Park podcast?
Going on down to South Park, we're going to have ourselves a time. I don't remember the rest of it. I haven't seen that show in quite a while.
You mean it's been a while?
It's been a while.
Anyways, back to the Simpsons.
I like, don't worry about them. They're going to go to hell.
And also love Lisa's line there of, we're the neighbors and we don't think.
Also, jerk-ass Homer.
I'm going to say annoying-ass Homer in this episode.
You're right. He's not a jerk. He's just an idiot.
He's annoying in this episode, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's supposed to be the joke, but it doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
But
like,
anyway.
To the point where Ned is just, like, so agitated. Or he's just annoyed with Homer, and we've seen a couple episodes where he's just annoyed with Homer, and I've, like, always sympathized with Flanders in those kind of episodes, so here we are.
Ned gives Rachel a tour of his home, which has walls of picture after picture of his dead wife. They head to the bedroom, where Ned has kept Maud's bed indentation with the help of some canned starch, perhaps Niagara brand starch, which we talked about last week.
Ned gives her Maud's robe, and he sniffs it, commenting on how much he loves the material. But Rachel is indifferent, and Ned then struggles not to call Rachel Maud, and ultimately failing Maud.
The night goes on, and as Rachel sleeps, the camera pans out trivial that Ned has cut her hair to resemble that of Maud's trademark bouffant.
Creepy.
Understandably freaked out, Rachel dashes off in a cab, and Ned admits to himself that he's not over Maud at all. Homer, who is literally hanging out the bedroom window, agrees and asks to be let in.
So weird.
Yeah, he's a weirdo in this one.
And how? You know what he really is?
You're a real jerk, you know that?
I mean, for him, not you.
Yeah, right.
To me, Homer in this episode is a real mother hole.
Mother Frank hole?
Yeah, he's a mother Frank hole.
Mother Frank hole. But Craig, I do have a blunder.
Cool.
When Ned is cutting her hair to look like Maud's,
right?
He's got the scissors in his right hand. Everybody knows that Ned's a lefty. He's got the leftorian.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
That's not acceptable, Steve.
No, that's pretty bad. So
I hope all the animators were fired and sent to the coal mines and blasted into 1,000 pieces.
Wow. At first, I was excited for them because they got a field trip to the coal mine, but then they got blasted to 1,000 pieces, and now I'm sad for them.
All right, so our second act begins with Ned taking his boys, Rod and Todd, to the eye doctor while the Simpsons go through the house to get rid of Maud's things. He's reluctant to throw away anything, but Marge is ready to make the hard decisions. But Bart is ready to get a bunch of free stuff.
Nice. It's kind of interesting that he's going to the eye doctor, because in the episode that's takes place in the future where Lisa's president and Bart is begging him for money, he's blind. So maybe it's a long-term like disease that he has where he's slowly going blind.
Or he's got a shitty eye doctor.
Could be.
Well, the Simpsons get to work and they find that their job may prove harder than they thought. So they can't look anywhere in the house without being reminded of Maude.
Oh, but Homer begins to throw everything away because as life goes on, you know, ashes to ashes, turn. Long live rock and roll and so forth.
Meanwhile, Bart is going to throw away Rod's first tooth, but Lisa stops him. And instead, he's going to save that tooth for some witchcraft.
Ooh.
And Marge is amazed that Maude has a shoe fetish. She's got 3 pairs.
Whoa. How many pairs of Craig shoes do you have, Craig?
Craig shoes. I don't know.
Okay.
I have quite a few.
Yeah.
I'm not a sneaker collector
mm-hmm.
or a shoe collector. I'm not... I guess I just don't get rid of all my old shoes. So I have like a shoe rack in the closet that I have like shoes that I haven't worn in like 10 years, but they're there, you know?
Yeah. I tend to cycle between like 2 pairs of shoes regularly, but I have a bunch that I own that same with me. I just don't throw them away. So yeah.
Okay. Can you really own a shoe, Steve?
Yeah. You just buy it.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. No, I take that back. 'Cause it does have a soul. Thank you.
So Homer begins to grow tired of stuffing the trash bag after trash bag of precious memories. So he has got an idea, Steve.
Ooh, what's that?
He's going to throw everything in the wood chipper. Ooh. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
So Ned is a little shocked when he comes home.
Oh, my. The room looks so bare.
Are you okay, Ned?
Yeah, just a little shocked. What's that, some kind of sorting machine?
Kinda.
Now for the awkward part. We gotta talk about money.
You said we were doing this out of friendship.
What? That doesn't sound like me.
Hey, Dad, something didn't get, sorted.
Maude's old sketchbook. She was quite the little artist, you know.
Is that a fact? And you think you know someone?
Well, here's our house. A rainbow. Oh, a white hand shaking a black hand. Praise land. Rides, food, a tithing pond?
It looks like an amusement park.
You're right. Maude designed a Christian amusement park. Oh, it must have been her final dream.
Hey, how about that?
Let's build it for her, Daddy.
Oh, that's a nice thought, Toddy. But to build an amusement park, you need lots of money and manpower and turnstiles.
But Mommy wanted it.
The drawing of a white hand drawing shaking a black hand is such like a, I don't know, it's like a conservative view of peace where like nobody understands each other, but they just kind of like are peaceful. They don't like each other. They don't treat each other like people. It's just weird. Like I see on Facebook sometimes, I go on Facebook to hate myself, conservative family members doing things like, why can't we all just get along rather than actually talk about the issues and work towards things?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, because all lives matter, Steve.
That's exactly right. That's kind of what I was getting at.
But Mommy wanted it.
Oh, boy. I can see that being... So one thing I learned from this episode is Rod is the older one. Todd is the younger one. I never bothered to learn it, but now I looked it up, and so now it's stuck in my head. Rod is the older one because he comes first in the alphabet.
Oh, that's a good way of knowing. I was going to ask you whether it's a way to know that. Because I never know.
Yeah, so also Rod has 1 D because he was first, and Todd has 2 Ds because he came second.
Stevie's got 2 Ds. What did he eat, Taco Bell? There, I made a cleaner joke instead of...
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah, it's much like Itchy and Scratchy to remember which one's which. Is Itchy is the mouse, and Scratchy has the word cat in it, so you know Scratchy's the cat.
That's a good one. Yeah. We're an expert Simpsons podcast, so here's how you tell the characters apart.
We like to be a comedy podcast, sort of, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Is it hard to throw away a dead relative's stuff?
I'll tell you that when my mom died, after my dad died a month earlier, we just left everything in the house, and somebody probably took care of it.
Jeez.
I am not joking. There's a website that you can go to. It's like a state thing where you can claim unclaimed money and stuff. So like if you left an apartment without getting your deposit back, it would say that you owed like, or you were owed money, and you can do some paperwork to get that money. There's over $1,000 worth of stuff at my parents' old house, but I haven't gone through the trouble of getting like all the deeds and whatnot to get it processed. Yeah. But yeah, we just kind of abandoned the house.
It's someone else's mess now. Jeez.
Yeah. Emotional turmoil. I don't know. We were just lazy.
All right.
What about you, Craig?
No, I didn't have to do any of that. So.
Oh, nice.
Although a lot of it's still around.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get back to the funny.
Alrighty. So as Ned ponders if he can actually make Maude's dream come true, Bart, Lisa, and Marge nod approvingly. And after stirring his watch board, Homer joins in with his hands in prayer.
So Bart suggests that they build the park where the Storytime Village used to be, because they've been out of business ever since that kid got his head cut off. And they are ready to build an amusement park. So real quickly, I think it was kind of funny that we're watching this episode, because the thing... episode or two ago, we talked about Enchanted Forest, which is literally Storytime Village.
Yeah,
in Oregon. So that was kind of like a fun little hey, we kind of talked about that. So that's literally what Enchanted Forest is in Oregon. Was Storytime Village.
And interestingly enough, there's also the Grotto, which is a church thing up a big mountain, or not a big mountain, but up a hill. But when you go up it, there's all these displays of Jesus stuff. It's like there's displays of Jesus, but it looks like an amusement park. Like it's like Disneyland, but for Jesus. So we also have our own Priestland.
I've lived in Portland my whole life, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a confession since this is all about religion?
Oh, boy.
I've never been to the Grotto.
Oh, I've been more times than I should as a non-believing person.
Well, they always put on a fun like Christmas stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like a laser light show with fireworks and machine guns or something. I don't know. I've never been there.
It's a really tranquil place to walk up. Like the woods are really beautiful. There's like a little like a labyrinth and
David Bowie?
Yeah, exactly. You can see his codpiece and everything.
All right. Well, do you have anything more about this Christian theme park?
Well, Storytime Village first appeared in season 7, episode 5, Lisa the Vegetarian, though in that episode it was called Storytown Village, not Storytime Village.
So could this be a blunder?
Or trivia. So it's like a trunder.
Oh, all right. Well, here's one more little fact here, Steve.
Hmm.
So with Ned wanting to build this Christian theme park, there actually was a Christian theme park. It was called Holy Land USA. Hmm. It was in Waterbury, Connecticut, and it opened in 1955 and unfortunately closed in 1984.
29 years, though. That's a pretty good run for a Bible-themed park.
It was they had a 50-foot cross, so there was something like that, yeah. It was visible from both Route 8 and Interstate 84.
I love me some Route 8, so... So Ned heads to Storytime or Storytown Village, where he is met by the rich Texan to discuss his plans.
Sell Storytime Village? Why, you gotta be off your tuffet.
Well, it's been closed for so long, and I thought I could turn it into a Christian theme park.
Christian, eh? Well, that's different.
Now, the thing is, I don't have a lot of money.
And what the hell good are you? Beat it, you hippie!
But I...
You're right, that was harsh. Tell you what, maybe I could donate the park as a tax write-off.
If you could do that, I'd make this place a shining beacon for the Lord.
Oh, you are so full of it. God's grace, that is. It's really sickening. There aren't more people like you. Now get out your pen, and we'll make it official.
Oh, bless you, sir.
I enjoyed that little rich Texan moment.
It's classic Simpsons writing. Just the expectation and then the swap out. It that was great.
Great scene there, Steve. So yeah, he's got his land, Steve. So Ned gets on working to build Storytime Village. So he's going to convert Geppetto's workshop to the stable for the nativity scene. Meanwhile, Bart is pulling some weeds, I guess, even though it looks like grass. But Homer lets his son know that he's performing the task the sucker way, and he needs a little vitamin G, which is just gasoline, Steve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Homer sets the ground ablaze, telling Bart that it's a controlled burn until it grows out of control, burning Little Bo Peep and two of her sheep.
One of my favorite scenes here, Steve, is he's burning it. one of the sheep doesn't have a little skeleton, but the other sheep does because it was a real sheep.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fun little visual gag.
Yeah. Somebody on the internet called that a blunder, but I think it's a delight.
No, that's not a blunder. That's the visual joke. Yeah.
It's just funny the way his eye just falls out. And he's just
great scene there. So, Ned dumps some empty beer bottles out of the old woman who lived in the shoe, and he curses those teenagers who were drinking it. But, Homer's like, yeah, teenagers. So, of course, Homer is the one that was drinking the beers on the job, Steve.
Like a real American.
Yeah. You and I, we would never drink while recording this podcast, would we?
Nope, not at all. Marge is concerned that Ned is working himself too hard.
You've been working nonstop for the past week.
Well, it's been a tad harder than I thought, but I'm not complaining because I work for a sweet, sweet boss. You're our foreman, Maude.
She's still bossing you around from beyond the grave? Can they do that?
No, I don't mind, but my greenback stack's getting kind of slack.
How about asking the community for donations?
Oh, I'm not very good at begging people for stuff.
I am. I'd be glad to spearhead the entire begging initiative.
Thanks, Homer.
No problem. I'll need a sack and something sharp.
Well, I guess I could donate these costumes. They're from my Last Supper pie-throwing sketch.
Yeah, you can have these fireworks I confiscated. Some Chinese people claim they were celebrating New Year's in February.
Oh, yeah. Those guys and their crazy scams.
Good food, though.
But it does look like he has a fortune cookie on his desk. Ned, I mean. Or, sorry, Wiggum, rather.
Oh, because he just ate Chinese food.
Yeah. Wow.
So are we going to be the PC police? Is that an insensitive joke, or?
I think it's just them being dummies. I mean, it is kind of weird with those people and their scams. That does sound
yeah,
weird.
When you say those people.
And what scams are they talking about?
I mean, get that joke.
They better not be talking about putting liquid in other liquid. Like, if you had like a soda pop and somebody were to put urine in it. I'm not going to say it. Never mind.
What is matter?
No mind.
What is mind?
Never matter.
So Ned and Homer head off to a Springfield Elementary where groundskeeper Willie offers to give them a special blend of puke-absorbing sawdust, which Homer smells a little hint of cinnamon.
Ooh, I like Willie being all coy about that.
Well, Steve, you just have to get a little more excited and your Willie will come out his coyness. anyways, that's often the case. Kent Brockman is reporting on a story that probably actually isn't news. Kent?
Praiseland Amusement Park has its grand opening today. We now go live to its founder, Mr. Edward Flanders.
Well, morning, Kent. Our volunteers have done an amazing job getting the park ready here. We're going to show Springfield that faith and devotion are the wildest thrill rides of all.
All right, I hear the mayor's arriving for the ribbon cutting.
It is with great pride that I dedicate this new school, sports arena, or attraction.
I liked Homer, like, dancing around like an idiot and doing the tummy roll thing behind Ned on camera.
The truffle shuffle from Goonies.
Yes, that's right. A movie that I don't really care for.
How dare you, Steve. You're
I know.
From Portland.
And that movie was not filmed in Portland.
No, it was filmed in Oregon.
Sure.
Astoria, one of my favorite coastal towns.
It's a fine town. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of kids yelling.
That's true. You hate kids. Even when you were a kid, you hated kids.
You're not wrong. Literally, when I came home from my first day of kindergarten, I told my parents, I don't like school. The kids are too loud.
Oh, by the way, Steve is now an kindergarten teacher, and this was last week.
Yeah.
And Steve's parents are dead, so it's really weird that he said that to him.
Yeah. But, you know, hopefully they heard, and hopefully the kids will shut up or they'll pay. Oh, they'll pay.
Hey, here's some fun little trivia. So when Kent Brockman called Ned Nedward, we had that trivia last week that in our episode of Doe Canada, that his first name is actually Nedward.
It's cool to see that that is canonical. And it's interesting that's like the second reference to last week's episode that we talked about.
Yeah.
Huh. So fireworks go off. The park is open and a crowd of people rush to experience Praiseland. Ned has erected a statue of his deceased beloved praying with a plaque that reads, Maude Flanders, she taught us the joy of shame and the shame of joy. And I just want to say that that quote gets stuck in my head all the time. Whenever I want to do a character that is like the traditional preacher character, that is basically like Lovejoy, that praise him, that kind of character.
Yeah.
That's always the line that I use because I think it's a really funny line about the joy of shame and the shame of joy.
That's almost like it'd be great on a t-shirt, maybe.
True, perhaps.
Anyways, well, Bart and several other children go on King David's wild ride, where an animatronic religious figure reads all 150 of his psalms, and the safety bar slams down on the kids, leaving the children trapped.
Ooh, on the other side of the park, Nelson is at a whack-a-mole game that has been altered to be a whack-a-Satan game. The bully can't seem to find the mallet to hit the pop-up doubleheads, though.
So Flanders suggests to Nelson to use his faith, but Nelson's misunderstands thinking Ned said his face and calling him ugly. And then Ned tells the boy that he's beautiful, which causes an odd look from Nelson. So here's another theory why Nelson is actually going to grow up to be gay, was because anytime he's hearing from another man, he's thinking gay. And he's like, wait, no, I'm not gay. No, like, you know, a lot of people are closeted, right?
And he's being forced to repress it because he doesn't want to lose his creed as a or street cred as a big bully.
Right. So Nelson, just accept it.
Yeah.
So the other patrons at the park are a little less thrilled about the park.
Ooh, what can I get you, little Christian? How about a Noah's Ark of jellies?
Oh, are there two of every flavor?
Nope, they're all the same. Plain.
Ah.
How about a Maud mask?
I'm Maud. God is super.
Can I sit in the car?
Let's both sit in the car.
Bye-bye.
A Bible park without beer? Now I've seen everything.
And this candy is subpar. Any religion that embraces carob is not for Carl Carlson.
Oh, hey, get out of the way, pal. You're blocking the exit.
Oh, you want me to stamp your hand so you can get back in?
Don't you dare.
Bye, everybody.
What a ripoff.
It ain't even worth touching.
Whoa, where's everyone going? What's wrong?
This place is the height of tedium.
Yar, she blows.
Oh, Maud, I turned your dream of a Christian amusement park into a B-musement park.
Don't say that, Ned!
It is! It's a B-musement park!
A lot of stuff going on that clip, Steve.
It's true. Where to begin? Let's start with the beginning. The mask, when he's wearing the mask, is very funny to me.
Maud! Yeah. That was great. I like Lenny and Carl. They had some good lines there.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on Carob? Or have you had Carob?
Anyone who uses that, and that's not for me.
This is a controversial thing. I happen to really like Carob.
I've never actually had it, chocolate
with it. I don't know what it's made of, and I could look it up, but I'm not going to. But it's a different flavor, but it's not bad.
It's made up of the souls of dead orphan children.
That's why it tastes so good. Low in fat.
It's a brown flowery powder extracted from the carob bean, used as a substitute for chocolate, evergreen Arabian tree, which bears long, brownish-purple edible pods.
Go ahead. Makes sense. Well, yeah, it makes sense. So it's instead of like a cacao, you use carob. So, yeah, it's in the same family.
I mean, I've probably said on this podcast before, I'm somewhat of a 100% cacao chocolate lover. I love the bitter chocolate. It says carob is a little less bitter, so I probably still would like it.
Yeah, it just doesn't taste as sweet, though. Like, it's not bitter, but it just has a different kind of flavor. I don't know. I like it. It's a weird thing that I know that most people don't enjoy, but I do.
Let's make a carob cake.
Alrighty, maybe I will.
We'll wait.
Okay. Da-da-da-da. And carob, eggs, whale.
Whale?
In the oven. Yeah, there's some plankton in there. Baleen. There's a trivia that I didn't add, but there's a scene where people are walking out of the park, and Apu is with Manjula, but she's white.
Huh. Maybe it's just sunscreen.
Could be. All but right. Then she turns back, and she's not white again.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
I do enjoy B-musement park. That is a line that I've said myself before.
I believe you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Ned grabs a Maud mask and apologizes to the rest apologizes to the image of his spouse. He can't stand the inanimate visage of his wife is looking at him as he throws it to the ground, and the crowd begins to leave, but the mask slowly rises from the ground.
Ooh, it floats higher and higher until it's the same height as the face on the statue of Maud. Marge declares it a miracle, and the mob takes notice.
It's almost like she's alive again.
What's that floating mask? You want me to shoot everyone? I'm just screwing with you. It's a miracle.
So we have Wiggum there,
mm-hmm.
just kind of saying what it's a 99.9% of the cops wanted to do on the job.
Yep. Watch out, Carl. It's a weird time.
Yeah, yeah. Not yeah. a political podcast, but let's do something about that, America.
Yeah, we can do better. We can be best.
Yeah.
Our third act begins with Super Nintendo Chalmers allowing himself to rub his eyes in disbelief. Mo thinks the floating the mask is a sign from God that we should all go nuts. He then drop kicks Agnes Skinner's purse into the air, but then politely retrieves it when asked by the Lamb of God.
The mask falls to the ground, and Skinner points out it appears that the phenomenon is actually a phenomenon. But he falls to his knees and begins speaking some tongue.
Because when you look at it rationally, Hakalamakta tohu habuhu.
He's speaking in tongues.
Oh, knock it off, Seymour. Go find that boy with my purse.
Oh, it was incredible. I saw heaven. But it wasn't clouds and angels playing harps like at the end of so many Three Stooges shorts. It was a golden elementary school with a teacher's lounge that stretched as far as the eye could see. And no one was ever tardy.
Was I there?
No, it was heaven. My vision of heaven.
Steve, what's sweet vision of heaven be?
I was going to ask you that. I don't know. I mean, have a bed, definitely. Have a really good coffee maker.
Wouldn't you want it to be, though, you don't need a coffee maker. Maybe, like, your urine makes the best coffee. So you just pee in a cup. Or you just tell your penis, like, make me a gin and tonic. Maybe yeah. I'm talking about my favorite heaven.
Yeah, I was going to say, my heaven doesn't involve me, my penis playing bartender.
All right, here's my heaven.
Okay.
Liquid comes out the wee-wee. Salt comes out the... like, fried chicken. Wait, that might hurt.
Yeah, especially if it's hot.
But we'll make a 7-layer burrito. What's the point? It'll be the same going out, going in, going out.
I like that your butthole is Davy from Davy and Goliath, or Goliath, I guess. I don't think so. I'm going to shit a shit.
That's funny you say that, because you know what my penis is. It's me, Davy.
I'm not Jewish.
Let's just finish this up here. The crowd is excited about this act of Maud and wants to have a vision of their own. And Homer states that the ticket price doesn't cover visions, miracles, or other godly hoo-ha. The bar tells the people that the power of the Christ compels them to give Ned an additional $10. Or as we call it, a sawbuck?
Alexander Hamilton. Oh, yeah. Sawbuck.
Yeah. Anyway, so Ned is unsure about exploiting the divine manifestation of the faithful, but Marge, well, she's got herself a little idea.
You could give the money to the orphanage. I hear they need a new wall.
Three is not enough.
I love little orphan kids.
It never fails to make me laugh. So a crowd of eager Springfieldians head to Praiseland to experience Miracle Mod. First up is Disco Stu, who envisions the pearly gates. A line is forming for St. Peter, which includes John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever, Liza Minnelli, and Andy Warhol.
So Disco Stu pulls up to the line in a cloud limo, and he is rushed past the line. And once inside the disco, he dances next to, well, the disco master himself, Frank Sinatra. But he's not, because that's actually his own hell.
That sounds about right. I don't know how Sinatra felt about disco, but he seemed like an unhappy gent.
Hey, don't say anything negative about Sinatra. The mob might whack us.
That's true. Or his son might write a bad article about us.
His son's dead too, Steve.
Didn't he write that thing about Harvey Weinstein?
Oh, you're talking about, Ronan Farrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
His Woody
Allen's son.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who looks just like Woody Allen. That strong jawline and pretty blue eyes.
Okay, I won't do a Woody Allen. Continue.
Bart sweeps away the 70s obsessed character for another of Springfield's townspeople, the comic book guy himself, Jeff Albertson.
Ooh.
my chair. It's got a mind of its own. Help me, Mrs. Spock!
Shezba, my captain is in peril.
You saved the captain's life. I want to make out with you. And so do Catwoman and Agent 99.
Ooh.
How come everybody's having visions, Daddy?
Oh, there's no explaining God's will, Roddy. That's like explaining how an airplane flies.
Stupid grill. Why won't you light? The gas is on full blast.
You better stick your head in and see what's going on.
Good idea.
No, Dad. I think there's a leak in the line.
Leak in the line?
To go back a little bit, comic book guy's vision. He tread over a lot of non-canonical things for Star Trek because he said Shazbot. That's Mork from Ork, right?
Sure.
Okay.
I like it, his fantasy, too. I would always assume that he would have been Captain Kirk in his fantasies, but as a Star Trek fan, he knows that Spock's the real hero of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, I think The Simpsons did it. Ooh, this is a new revelation in my mind now. Because remember the J.J. Abrams reboot Star Trek movies? Yes. Spock and Uhura are a couple.
Oh, yeah.
So in his fantasy, he's Spock and he's going to bed Uhura.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that never happened before. So I'm going to say J.J. Abrams watched this episode. He's like, I'm going to do this in my Star Trek movie.
Yes, that's the best J.J. Abrams impression I've ever heard. I would say that your voice was good, but I kind of got lost in the middle there.
I'm going to just say that that wasn't me doing that voice. It was an alias.
Well, I love the craft of the
Felicity.
Oh, yeah. What does that mean? Don't get a haircut.
And don't forget, his first writing credit was, what's the deal, Henry? Or, I mean, Regarding Henry. I watched Regarding Henry like a few years ago, and in the scene when Harrison Ford gets shot in the head, it just looks like they just put like a dot of ketchup where the bullet was supposed to be. Like, have you seen Regarding Henry?
Is that the one where he gets senile?
He gets shot and loses his memory. He was having a bad like relationship anyways. Like his wife was like, cheating on him, I think. Or he was just like, he wasn't paying attention to his family. Then I think he, like, after he got shot, he couldn't think of anything. Or he had to be rehabilitated. But then he had to go and like live with the Amish. And then I think Tommy Lee Jones was coming after him. And he was running away from Tommy Lee Jones. And there was like a dam. And he's like, get off my plane. And then Gary Oldman was a terrorist. And then I think it is.
Isn't there a weird third act thing where he becomes a cop with Josh Hartnett?
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Okay, yeah, I wouldn't but either.
It ends with him finding the Holy Grail.
And then he crashes his plane and Ally McBeal dies.
And the dancing baby dances on their graves.
That's right. Speaking of dancing babies, Anne Hathaway played both Catwoman and Agent 99. So that's fun.
Yeah.
Back to the show.
Thank God.
Ned follows the pipeline and finds a leak. As Mrs. Krabappel speaks gibberish, Flanders learns that there is no divine miracle. Everyone's just getting goofy from the gas.
Hey, a little trivia here, Steve. The gas leak that occurs in Praiseland in the episode was based on a real-life event that happened at Disney World.
Gosh. They were getting goofy, too. Also, the last time Ned owned something that was leaking gas that caused hallucinations was in Skinner's Sense of Snow.
Which I believe that was our third episode.
Was it? Or was it one of the lost episodes?
It was a lost episode.
Sorry.
More of an inside joke. Sorry, guys.
Yep. It was really good.
Actually, it's good that it was lost because once we get to it, we can actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lisa rolls away Edna in a red wagon as Ned prepares to tell the people the disappointing truth. But he looks at the smiling crowd and all the money he's received for the orphanage, and he hesitates.
Ooh. After the orphans ask Ned what's wrong, he reaches out to the gas company.
What is it, Mr. Flanders? Is something wrong with the miracle? Will there still be money for the orphans?
Hello, gas company. How poisonous is your gas? Wow. But I'm talking about, you know, outdoors with plenty of ventilation. That, how could that be worse? Okay, permanent brain damage or just temporary? I see. I gotta close Praiseland down. Someone could get hurt.
Could get hurt. Could. There's a chance they won't. Ned, Praise Land has touched an entire town with its inspiring message and toxic super freakouts. Look at those smiling faces. Rich laughing with poor. Bullies breaking bread with nerds. Orphans lighting candles over a leaking gas line. Lighting candles!
Again, the orphan children are hilarious. And the beginning there, yeah. Too, with the classic for me Simpsons joke of like, well, it's in a well open space, open ventilated area. How could that be worse?
Love that I line. Like that line a lot.
I do too.
Could be one of my favorites. So Homer and Ned rush to tackle the weak orphans, and upon doing so, one cannot feel their legs, and the other one tastes blood. Yeah. Homer and Ned let out a sigh of relief, but when they open their eyes, the crowd is shocked to see them attacking those poor, poor orphans.
I kind of like that because it's you're expecting a large explosion, but no.
Nope.
So the mob of people leave, causing women to call the place Praise Land, you know, instead of Praise Land. I also love that joke, too, because it was the typical, you know, he makes the pun and everyone laughs, but this time he had to explain it.
But then when he did, they're like, yeah, I get it. They were eventually on board.
I'm a fan of the joke of explaining a joke because you're not supposed to explain a joke.
Oh.
And here on the podcast, we do that a lot. So,
yeah. It's one of my favorite things, too. Just I believe we talked about it before, but yeah, it's fun to explain jokes.
Yep. Most people hate it, but we don't.
That's right. So Ned shackles the doors to the park and puts the sign that reads closed forever. The rich Texan angrily takes away the keys to the park.
And then, so we got a little trivia for you, Steve.
Oh,
it's just for you. So listeners, please turn it off right now and come back at 30 seconds.
That's right.
All right. So a scene was deleted from this episode, Steve, probably due to copyright infringements.
Ooh.
And it's included on the season 12 DVD.
Hot.
So the scene is Ned gives a list of brands not coming and Marge saying, I've never seen an amusement park as bad as Epcot Center. So, a listener, you can listen now.
Whoa, that was some good trivia.
Yeah, and that was only just for you, Steve, so.
I feel special.
Cool.
Suddenly, Rachel Jordan pulls up after hearing about Praiseland through that horrible AAA magazine. Homer pushes Ned toward Rachel and runs off, laughing maniacally.
Well, the two can never mention that hair incident again, and they go off to have a cup of coffee together.
Huh. Well, Craig, I got some blunder for you. So when they're first closing down the park, Rachel Jordan drives up, and at first she's wearing a pink blouse with a white vest. Then when the angle changes, she's just wearing the white blouse.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Ooh.
And I think they did.
Okay, good.
So back at the Flanders house, he and Rachel are in the bedroom ready to get down and get some hardcore ass. But really, they're removing Maud's indentation from the bed.
Hmm.
And they plan a date for the following evening. And Homer appears from underneath the bed saying that Ned is going to be all right. That's our show, Steve.
Alrighty. I need a break. And then we should come back and talk about it.
All right. It's really weird that you're under my bed now looking at me. So, yeah.
You're going to be all right.
We'll be right back. All right. We're back, Steve. Let's wrap up this week's episode with some of our favorite quotes, some of the visual gags, some external reviews and our review, and then we'll find out what we're watching next week.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Steve, what do you got for visual gags on this episode?
You know, it's not the... There aren't a lot of funny visual gags in this episode, and I kind of struggled to come up with one, but I think I'm going to just do a t-shirt that's going to be the Maud mask, which is going to say on the top of the mask... the joy of shame, and on the bottom it'll say the shame of joy.
So this is really weird. Yeah. I don't think this happens much on this podcast, but that's kind of what I wanted to do. Not I like your face, Max. Mine was just like the statue of Maud.
Okay.
That same quote too. I think that would be actually be a really good shirt.
Yeah, I think it would work well. I just like the idea of the Maud mask just being dead center.
And would we just and there'd be like blank eyes, right? There's no pupils.
Exactly.
It looks like a mask. I kind of like this idea, Steve. I'll look into this.
Alrighty.
What about quotes here?
Ooh, there's a lot of good ones, I think. I do like that, the shame quote, but I thought the orphans we talked about were really funny, but I think my favorite quote was when Ned was on the phone with a gas company, and he just, you mentioned it, but just like, well, it's in an outdoor area. How is that worse? I thought that was really funny.
It's almost like nowadays, like, well, we're social distancing and wearing masks, and then now the CDC will be like, oh, we just found out.
You can't do both.
That's actually worse now. I agree. That line was great. I enjoyed the rich Texan and the whole, that whole scene there with Ned Flanders of him, you know, like, you know, trying to get the money to get the praise land. So I thought that was,
oh, you're full of it. God's grace, that is.
Right.
Yeah, that whole thing was a lot of fun.
So I had fun with that. And yeah, I think that I'm going to go with that. I like your quote too, but and then of course the orphan kids is hilarious, but yeah, I'm going with that.
Do you have an MVJ?
I'm gonna give my most valuable jerk to Homer in this episode.
That's fair.
The jokes, yeah, I would go with the orphans. Lenny and Carl had some good one-liners, but I'm giving it to the most valuable jokesters were the orphans.
Yeah, I also liked the amusement park.
Oh, that was good, yeah.
Yeah, because that, and there's another episode, I don't know what season, it's either late classic or in our realm, but when Lisa goes to a state fair to play in a band and she loses, and she's like, more like state unfair. And so in my head, I think of the two at the same time. So if I'm ever at a fair or an amusement park that isn't as good as I want it to be, it's either a amusement park or a state unfair.
All right, we're bringing it up again. Steve, I think it's time we make another trip after after all of this COVID goes away, or, you know, vaccine, or, you know, when it's safe to kiss in public. We need to go down to Enchanted Village.
Yes, we can find Blaine and he can steal a bunch of stuff.
We'll bring our spouses.
Yeah.
And they can see how horrible it is. All right. Well, it's time for a review. But before we review, we'd like to look and see if there's other reviews here. Steve, we got one here from TV.com. It's a little positive review, Steve.
Oh, nice.
They give it an 8.5 out of 10, written by none other than Futurama, written August 21st, 2011. So Ned finds a Bible theme park called Praiseland because he found some blueprints. He dedicates it to Maude. However, soon people start having some weird illusions of their own versions of what heaven would be. Ned thinks it is a miracle. Is it? Or is there something else going on? It was all right. Nothing to brag about, but it was an enjoyable way to spend 22 minutes of your time. The illusion people had was funny, and it was nice to see Rachel Jordan make an appearance. First appearance being alone again, natural diddly from last season. Overall grade is B minus or so. I think is fair for this episode. Again, we always like to say maybe they have English isn't the first language.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is a podcast, but many spelling mistakes, grammar mistakes, the wrong uses of their capitalizations. It's a pretty fun one, guys. Check this review out on TV.com.
Yeah. Also, it's just 8.5 is, they're pretty unenthusiastic for...
That's a really good score.
Yeah.
I also like he finds a blueprints. He just finds sketches of Maude.
Yeah.
But he decides to dedicate it to Maude. No, that's her idea.
Yeah. Well, I have one from the International Movie Database. This one is from the same reviewer as last week.
Ooh.
Yes, I thought and I wanted to bring them back. So it's Low Chi 3960723. And this is from April of this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So they write, it's good, but odd. My opinion, not yours. Agree, disagree. Which I think is exactly how they started the other one. Positives. Storyline. I actually like the idea of Flanders being the main spotlight of the episode about building a Christian park. It's good and heartfelt. Jokes. The jokes are all right, but nothing is too, T-O, great to remember about. Heartfelt. It's simple. It takes care about Flanders' situation in life. Negative. It's odd. To be honest, I don't mind the storyline and the plot, but throughout the episode, I just felt weird and a little odd towards the end. Maybe because things move too quickly at the end or something else. It's aged. This episode has easily aged and is a shame for a season 12 episode. You would think a little bit more, but of course, the point of The Simpsons would be to change its cultural. Overall, it is still a good episode, but definitely not great. It feels odd and weird for the entire episode, but yet it was good. Strange. Quote from the show. Yeah, how about that? Your friend, Esso. And that's the review.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? That's his favorite line.
So when Homer was being like a jerk and just like not paying attention to Flanders, yeah, about that.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
Do you think our friend Esso here listens to this podcast?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, Esso, you're definitely one of us annoyed grunt boys here.
That's right. And if you're listening, reach out to us.
Right, right.
And you can be our Esso.
Watch your Esso there, Steve.
Sorry.
I got one more review, Steve. Do you have time for this one?
Let me look at my watch. 5:10. Yeah, I'm good.
It's still from the internet movie database. They gave it a 7 out of 10. It was written by Malmastino Yono 21. Written a year ago, September 2019. They gave it a 7 out of 10, and it goes like this. Homer, Ned, Marge, Lisa, Bart, Rod, and Todd make park for God. So strange episode. That's it.
You know, less is more.
All right, well, that was some fun reviews. How about our fun review?
Alrighty. I remember when this episode came out, and I didn't care much for it. I don't mind Ned at Flanders episodes. In fact, probably my favorite all-time episode is Hurricane Neddy. So I'm a fan of the dynamic of Homer and Ned, but Ned is so jerky. Or, sorry, not Ned. Homer is so, like, aloof and just kind of, like, silly. And he's like, being Flanderized by himself in this episode, I feel.
Right.
So that kind of takes me out of it. Plus, there aren't a lot of jokes. I really enjoyed the Maud mask and the voice that he made. But I don't know. It's weird because the episode is kind of upside down compared to most episodes we do, because a lot of the fun stuff happens on the middle to the back end. And I felt like the ice cream social stuff in the first like act really kind of dragged on. And it wasn't until about 10 minutes into the episode get flowing for me. That being said, it's not a horrible episode. And I think it's nice that they are keeping up with the canon about Maud being gone and growing Ned as a person. So, I mean, it sounds like I'm being really negative about it, but it's not a horrible episode. It's just not an amazing episode. And so I think it's perfectly fine, but it's kind of a sleeper. I think there are better and worst episodes from season 12 that are more remarkable in either way. So I would say that this episode is kind of just right in the middle. So King David, good old King, Davy Dave, he wrote 150 psalms. I'm going to give this, we'll say 100 of those 150 psalms.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with you on this episode too. It was, for me, you're right, there wasn't that many jokes that like stood out or really made this episode 100% awesome. It's part of the Flanders saga, really. I think there's like a few episodes where you can just like almost make like a mini series of the journey of Flanders, you know. And mm-hmm. This is like I don't know how many episodes would be part of this, but you can make a mini series based off of Flanders. Like the first episode of his show could be him with the Leftorium, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So and then this is just another episode in the saga of Flanders, and it kind of be really interesting to just, you see what I'm saying, like take those episodes.
Yeah.
And then just put them into like a collection. Like I know like Disney Plus has the collection series where like, you know, the Simpsons Predict It collection or whatever. They should make a the Story of Flanders collection as of now, and just like all these like Flanders moments, like Hurricane Neddy,
mm-hmm.
Alone Again National Diddley, this episode, the one, you know, just keep building off this, and like you almost would have a self-contained series about Flanders with his wacky neighbors, the Simpsons.
That's really interesting, kind of like a reverse Family Matters where the neighbor is the star of the show and the main family becomes the sidekicks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd be great because you could end it with like Krabappel and him, you know, she passing.
And then the story just keeps building. So whenever time they do a Flanders centered episode, you drop that into that playlist essentially.
That's a great idea.
So for me, I feel like this is like a larger part of a bigger story, which is kind of weird because The Simpsons is, you know, they're just one-offs, really.
Yeah.
So this is like a serialized saga of Flanders within The Simpsons. And I think that's kind of interesting. I didn't hate the episode. And, you know, I'm not in love with the episode, but it sits there in the middle, like you said. So I enjoy it for that fact. And again, Homer in this episode is super annoying. I don't like him in this, especially, you know, the whole scene with him being ignoring Flanders. Like everyone's like, yeah, build the park. He's like, you know what I'm saying?
yeah.
I like Homer being dumb, but I don't like him being a jerk, and especially to Flanders, because I feel like I sympathize. I'm not religious at all, but I feel like I feel bad for Flanders a lot of times.
Yeah, he's just trying to do his best.
Right. You know, he's a 65-year-old senior, you know, for Christ's sake.
Although he is dating a 27-year-old, so.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Who does he think he is? Dennis Quaid?
Jerry Seinfeld?
And the list goes on. So for that, Maude Flanders kept, she was a shoe hoarder, apparently, and she had 3 pairs of shoes, but that's actually 6 shoes. So I'm going to rate this out of 6. I'm going to give this episode a 3.
All right.
But a 3 out of 6. My usual 3s are bad. This one's right in the middle.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Well, that's our review for Praiseland. I'm going to Praiseland. Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Praiseland. Let's find out what we're watching next week, Steve.
Well, Craig, to do that, we will need to bust out that wheel of random. And let's give it a spin to see what season we are watching. Here we go.
All right, we got season 29.
Season 29. Alrighty, let's give it another spin for the episode.
Episode 21.
Season 29, episode 21. Why, that happens to be Flanders Letter.
Whoa, 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 Steve. Are we doing a back-to-back Flanders episode?
That sounds like we sure doodly are.
All right, well, this episode, here's a little description here from IMDb. When Bart falls into a coma after he's struck by lightning, he's visited by ghosts seeking closure. I don't see anything about Flanders in there, but I'm sure he will show up.
Yeah.
It was written by J. Stuart Burns.
Excellent.
Originally aired May 20th, 2018. Steve, let me ask you this real quick. Have you seen this episode?
I have not. I have no idea what it's about. How about you, Craig?
Probably did, but I don't remember it. And I'm seeing like video clips here on Google, but it looks like some like Hobbit stuff is going on. I see like Marge is dressed as Gandalf and Grandpa's like Bilbo Baggins. And there's, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. I guess we'll find out. Looking forward to this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to you guys checking out Flanders Ladder with us next week. And hey, I know you need some swag, so you got to go to tpublic.com/user/annoyedgruntboys to get that 138 Simpsons pod swag. You can always contact us, too, on social medias at 138 Simpsons on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And you can always email us at 138simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcatching app and leave a review and 5 stars or the equivalent. But you don't have to write a traditional review. This week, why don't you write your favorite psalm? Or you can ask this question or whatever you want. I don't care. Just write something.
Yeah. All right. Well, for this week, I've been half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been your other half annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, keep watching the skis.
I'm Maude. Bye-bye.
Flanders has cooties. Flanders has cooties.